welcome. God bless you. Good to have you. I believe God today that the word of God is coming so strong into our lives and it will mold us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrows. You see, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God is a surgical tool. Heaven uses God's word as a surgical tool to bisect, dissect, to experiment, to heal, to treat, to operate in the lives of the believer. So the word of God is God's surgical tool in the life of the believer. There are things God needs to take out. He does that by the word. There are things God needs to add. And it does that also by the word. So that word, as it comes into your life, it takes out the things that should not be there. It's very important, that the word of God is bigger than anything. Psalm 138 verse 2, the Lord says, I have exalted my word above my name. I will worship thy holy temple, praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy names. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Ebenezer, Jehovah Mekadesh. The word of God is greater than all the names of God. Because actually it's the word of God that gives potency to the names of God. So it's very important that you get addicted to the word of God. That was what Peter held on to when he was almost down and out. He said to the Lord in Luke 5, 3 and 4, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I'm letting down this net because my expertise has failed me. My technical know-how has failed me. My training in fishery has failed me. I'm letting down this net by the word. So the word of God is going to come briefly and it will do you good. Father, I want to worship you. I want to thank you, mighty God. Blessed be your name. Mighty man of war, Lion of Judah, we bow down and worship you, Yahweh, Yahweh. Come and do what only you can do. Mighty man of war, mighty man of war, Lion of Judah, we bow down and worship you, Yahweh. Yahweh, come and do
what only you can do.
Mighty man of war,
mighty man of war,
Lion of Judah,
Lion of Judah, we bow down and worship you,
Yahweh.
Yahweh,
come and do
what only you can do.
You are Yahweh. Holy Spirit of the living God, you are Yahweh.
Alpha, Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha, Omega. You are Yahweh. 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 Alpha, Omega. You are Yahweh. Alpha, Omega.
Holy Spirit, we thank you. We bless your name. We say we love you. You mean everything to us. We ask for your grace and your mercy. Let your mercy shine on our lives, shine on our families, shine on all that concerns us. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Job chapter 39, Job 39, we'll read from verse 19 to verse 25. Job 39:19 to 25. What the Bible says here is, "As thou given the horse strength, thou hast clothed his neck with thunder. Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostril is terrible. He poweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. He back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpet, Aha! He smelleth the battle afar off. The thunder of the captains of shouting." I want to talk about the horse Christian. The horse Christian. You know, when you study the Bible, so much has been talked about the fish. We talked about the fish, how Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." How Jesus also met Peter. In Luke 5, he had struggled and toiled all night and caught nothing, and he had a miracle, and he had his net broke with fishes. Also, how Jesus met a little boy, you know, in John chapter 6, who had, you know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. We'll talk about how Jonah was swallowed by the whale. Scriptures back to back talk about fishes. In Exodus chapter 7, how the fish in the sea died when Moses stretched his rod. The Bible talked of fishing. Also, the Bible talks about the serpent. The Bible talks about the eagle. You know, the eagle, the way of the eagle in the air. The way of the serpent on the rock. The Bible talks about us mustering our strength like the eagles. Little has been spoken about the horse. And believers need to know that our life is like the horse, because eagle is synonymous with the air. The fish is synonymous with the sea. But the horse is synonymous with the land. And that is where we are. So it's important that we understand what the Bible says about the horse Christian. God was talking so much about the horse, so much glory about the horse. If you understand very well, you understand also that there are many things that Scripture speaks about, and all of them have significance. The Bible says there are so many voices, and none of them is without significance. So when the Word of God talks about something, it's important that you x-ray what that thing is all about. We know the horse is important for race. The first major value for the horse is race. And everyone who is a child of God must know that Christianity is not an idea. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a journey. Is a race. And if you understand that, no wonder Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 24. He said, "Everyone runneth, but one obtained the prize." Meaning, once we are running to obtain a prize. Christianity is a race. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, when Paul was speaking, he says, "Seeing that we are so encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race." Okay? The race. Paul was speaking again in 1 Corinthians 9. If you read verse 26, he said, I do not run like one that beats the air. I do not run like one that beats the air. I run certainly. When you know Christianity is a race, you know that giving up is not an option. There are certain things that happens to you when you know Christianity is a race. You know giving up is not an option. Because it's a race. When you give up, and the race of the spirit is, you do not continue from where you fell. You start again. When you run in a race, and you run, you know, you are 70% done, and you fall out of line, you are disqualified. And that's how the race is with God. When we are running this race, heaven is a race. Going to heaven is a race. Christianity is a journey. It's not a religion. It's a journey. But the confidence we have is that this journey is on the platform of relationship. Okay? When you are running the race, don't forget, you are going to have other contenders. Others are running. Don't you bother about the person who is running because he's on his lane. Whatever error he makes, you are not to determine, because in trying to check if he's running well, you are disqualifying yourself. That is why we do not judge people. Okay? We do not judge people. We do not judge people. Because in trying to do that, you are disqualifying yourself. You say, who can lay anything to God's, who can lay charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies. It's important that we understand that. It is God that justifies. Romans 14 verse 4. The Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his master you fall, let all rise up. God is able to make him fall again. In this race, don't be distracted by the other man who is running. If he's running well or not running well. The enemy will want to make you a judge. And trying to judge, you lose your trophy or you lose your reward. It's very important. You have to be careful. Because in trying to talk to the man who is running, so you're not running well. You're making mistakes. You're not, and that's why I believe that nobody who is really filled with the Holy Spirit can actually accept under some divine, strange divine instruction. Strange divine instruction. I said to somebody one time when the Lord, when this COVID-19 began, and the Lord gave me prophetic word, and there was an instruction, something about the Pope. I canceled it more than 10 times. People feel, why would he do that? Why would he do that? That's not me. That's not how I speak. I don't speak like that. I canceled it more than 10 times. And the Lord can say, put it there. I said, no, I can't. Because this is not what I believe. This is not what I believe. I kept canceling it. All the time, I said, Lord, no, I'm not going to talk about that, because I mean, I'm not in position to do that. And the Lord kept telling me, put it there. I'm like, no. So when I was getting all the backlashes, I was okay with it. I could take it. That's why I said, unless under some very strange divine instruction. Because when God is working with a man, our ways with God are strange. What God said is different from what God is saying. What God said is different from what God is saying. Let me give you a scenario. In Isaiah chapter, that's why you must be very careful in your walk with God, how you judge people and all of that. In Isaiah chapter 38, the Lord spoke to Isaiah, you know, from verse 1. He said, go say to Hezekiah. Hezekiah must have been sitting in the chamber. Go say to Hezekiah, you put your house in order, Isaiah 38 from verse 1, for you shall surely die. Now, listen to this. Isaiah gave the prophecy and he walked away. Hezekiah left the palace, now left the crowd of people he was with, and went indoors and began to cry to God. And Isaiah came back and met him this time privately and said, you will not surely die. Now, I've added 15 more years to you. Now, don't forget, there were people that were there when he said, you shall surely die. They were not there when he said, I've added 15 more years. So you know what they'll do? They'll call Isaiah a false prophet. That's why you must be careful. You must be very careful. Because you don't know everything. The reason we go into error is because of limited knowledge. We don't know everything. So the little knowledge you think you possess, you begin to dispute with it, not knowing only God is all-knowing. And I tell people all the time, I said, you must be careful as you run the race, never to be distracted with how somebody else is running. The enemy will try to distract you. The enemy will try, and this distraction begins with an attraction. It will attract you with something and distract you. And sometimes when you hear people talk about some things with so much passion, There are people who have become, as it were, God's advocates. They are trying to speak for God. No, this is wrong. This is wrong. And you see them doing this error with so much passion. The Lord was talking about them in John chapter 16, I think verse 2. He said, it come to pass that even when they kill you, they will think they are doing God a service. Even when they are killing you, he said, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Here the time will come that whoever killeth you will think he's doing God a service. When you verbally kill a fellow believer, you verbally kill a fellow Christian, you verbally lash him. What is doing? Okay, let me ask you a question. God spoke to one of the prophets. He said, go down, go and marry a harlot. Now, if he does that now, we will be critical. And we even have scriptural verses to back up why he did what he did. Bible says, be not together yoke with unbeliever. We have all kinds of scriptures. But the Lord said to him, I think Osea, I said, go marry a harlot. He went and married a harlot. He got back home. Before he came back, the harlot went out to meet some men. He felt like dying. She kept going to meet men. And the Lord said to him, how do you feel? He said, I feel bad. He said, that's what Israel has done to me. I redeemed them. I brought them out of Egypt. They have gone to strange gods. That ignited a passion in him. A great passion in him. To cry out against sin. Because he could feel the pains and the pangs like the Lord felt it. You don't know people's dealings with God. Don't judge their life. Never do that. It doesn't matter how unscriptural it appears. It doesn't matter how unscriptural it appears. You don't know their dealings with God. What I'm trying to say is, as we run this race, we have to be careful. It's a race. It's a race that we are running. Because at the end of the day, you discover many people who will go to hell. It's going to be like a surprise. Now, when the Lord said many, on that day there will be many surprises, it's because, I mean, what you expect is not a surprise. It's what you are not expecting that's a surprise. I mean, some actually will be running this race with so much passion, but because of all of these judgmental spirit, these errors, our righteousness before God is like a filthy rag. So we have to be careful. In Galatians 6 verse 1, he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of meekness. If you have no meekness in your utterance, don't utter anything. Under strange circumstances, very strange. It's a race. I walk with God, it's a race. And don't forget, for this race, the first thing I said to you is that be careful so you don't get distracted by someone else who is running. This race also, be very careful, you must stay on your lane. What has the Lord called you to do? What works for you? What works for you? How is the Lord dealing with you? How is the Lord relating with you? What have you asked God about your life? Stay on your lane. God, what is your assignment for my life? Stay on your lane. Do that which God has called you to do. Number three about the race, which you must know, that as we run this race, it is very important. As a believer, you need strength. You need strength. When troubles come your way, the troubles come your way to test your strength. That's why it says in Psalm 24, Proverbs 24, verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Meaning it's not the size of the adversity, it's the size of your strength. Adversities are normal to destinies, but it's our strength that is mustered to confront adversity. The adversity will come, the troubles will come, but have you mustered enough strength to resist? That is why three people go through a temptation, one overcomes and two are down, because one has been able to muster enough spiritual strength by the humility of God. Don't forget Psalm chapter 8 verse 3. He said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength. Babes and suckling are thou ordained. I consider the works of thy hand, the moon and the star, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou hast mindful of him? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast ordained strength. So God wants us strong, because what he expects us to go through in life will come. Troubles will come. Trials will come. It will come. It will come. He said, in Revelation chapter 3, he was talking to one of the churches. Chapter 2, he said, thou hast a little strength, but thou hast not denied my name. The meaning, the reason why you did not deny my name is because you have a little strength. He says, hast thou not given the horse strength? The horse is strong. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Number one, if you must be strong, you must wait on the Lord. Anytime you are waiting on the Lord, you are renewing strength. You are renewing strength. You are depending on God. You are renewing strength. You are mustering strength. You are mustering strength. Whenever you wait on the Lord, you are generating, you are garnering strength. Spiritual strength. You know, somebody said to me, he said, I've been fasting. I think today. He said, I've been fasting for something and I didn't get it. Was it a job? And he said, today they just gave me a letter requesting for something I cannot give. You know, a particular document I don't have in one of the countries abroad. And he said, I've been fasting. I expected good news. And I laughed. I said, no, fasting is wasted. It may not be this job. It may not even be a job. It might be fasting that's preserving for something else. But my counsel, very important. In Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, it says, such as do wicked against the covenant shall he corrupt with flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong. Number one, to get strength, you must wait on the Lord. Number two, you must have knowledge. Knowledge. Because the troubles of life will come. Look at what Jesus experienced in Matthew chapter 4. See verse 4. See what he said. Give it back to him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That was a test of his strength. But he gathered that by knowledge. He gathered that strength by knowledge. The more of God's word you know, the more strength you garner. The more strength you generate, you muster. You muster strength because you know God's word. Knowledge is paramount. In Psalm 82, if you read from verse 5, he said, they know not, neither will they understand. Because of that, they walk on in darkness. And the foundation of the earth is out of course. For I have said, ye are God. I have said, ye are gods, ye all are children of the Most High. He said, but because you don't know anything, they shall die like men and shall fall like one of the princes. Our God status, our God realm is established and confirmed, is conferred on us on the platform and the premise, on the perimeters of knowledge. Knowledge establishes your God status. Knowledge of scriptures. In John 10:35, he repeated it. He said, if he called them God unto whom the word of God came, scriptures cannot be broken. In other words, scriptures can be broken. If you call them God unto whom the word came, when the word comes into you, your God status is established. You want strength? How much of God's word do you know? Troubles will come. When troubles like sickness come, because of the word of God that you know inside of you, you have generated enough strength to speak to that sickness and say, hey, stay. Enough is enough. When attack, you see attacks in the dream. You don't wake up and you are panicking. You are calling your pastor. No. You said, this is not what the word of God said about me. You give it back to the devil and say, Satan, you've lost the battle. You've lost the battle. You gather strength from the Word. From the Word of God. So, when you see challenges come your way, go back to the Word, to knowledge. To knowledge. In Job, Isaiah chapter 33 verse 6, he said, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of their times. The strength of their salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability. If you want to be stable amidst confrontation and challenges, adversity, you need wisdom and you need knowledge. You need wisdom and you need knowledge. Paul was talking to them in Acts chapter 17 verse 23. When he was passing by a city, he said, oh, then there's something I noticed. I saw this. You know not what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So it's very important that we understand the power of knowledge. Don't forget, you must have knowledge from waiting on the Lord, strength rather from waiting on the Lord, knowledge of God, and in righteousness. The story of Proverbs 31, I've shared it in church 2 Sundays ago, that most time we use that scripture for women. That scripture was aimed for men. A man was saying what his mother taught him. If you read Proverbs 31 from verse 1, that's the story about the virtuous women that we quote all the time. If you read from verse 1, he said, this is the word of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Solomon was writing what a fellow king told him he learned from his mom. The mother told him. The mother was a queen, obviously, and has been around the palace for too long and has seen many people fail. So the mother began to advise him. And this king told Solomon as a counsel. And in verse 3, was very important. He said, give not thy strength to women. In other words, immorality and sin. The third thing that kills your strength is sin, immorality. Give not thy strength. When you go into a moral life, you kill your strength. Don't forget in Judges 16 from verse 5. That was what finished Samson. And that was why they kept asking, say, what is the source of his strength? Your strength is your concern to the enemy. It's a major concern. Immoral life, mental immorality, actual immorality, visual immorality. When people go into porn sites, when people have certain immoral stuff in their phone, in their guide, and there are sites today for it. And people just assess that and the devil ruins their mind. There are people that go into masturbation. Even married people. All kinds of perversion. It is killing your spiritual strength. It is sapping it. It is sapping your spiritual strength. So you need to cry out to God, say, Lord, I need help. I need help. I need to be free. Jesus said, whosoever looketh at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her in his mind. In his mind. And sometimes when people are living that kind of life, they try to correct people. Like I told somebody, I said, don't give a second look. It's from the second look that the devil comes in with thoughts. A first look is okay. A glance is okay. Somebody walks past, hello. Not you turn back. You're trying to analyze what the person is wearing. Ah, look at them. Carnal people. What are they wearing? Why are you looking? That's how the devil comes in. Carnal people. Look at what they are wearing. Why are you looking? The world is going to be the world. You should be you. So, when you live that kind of life, there are so many people who have never had actual immorality in their whole life. But mentally, their mind is messed up. Their mind is messed up. And that is why they even have such kind of immoral life, even in their dreams. It shows up in their dreams. You need to fight it. Don't just allow that with spirit husband. Oh, spirit husband is just imagination. It's not imagination. You need help. You go to spirit. On Friday, we're going to be attacking some of those foundational powers. We're going to be handling that on Friday. You go through all those spirit husband, spirit wife. You wake up, you're all messed up. There's a seed of immorality. And that's the truth. Because the enemy will only manifest a dream on the platform of your weakness. You may not have done it physically, but mentally, along the line, there's a perversion. So it's important that we begin to understand this and begin to pray about it. Okay? So that can sap your spiritual strength. That is why sometimes when you're expecting something from the Lord, you just go and you have a dream or whatever, and you're messed up. You wake up, you feel down. Yes, the enemy has trained your strength. Don't forget, the earth is known for race. The earth is known for strength. Number 3, And I'm going to dwell on this. The horse is known to fight. Have you ever seen people in a horse fight? The horse is for combat. Warriors mount the horse. Kings in time of old mount the horse. Every believer must know. Don't forget the first thing I said. You must know that this is Christianity is a race. It's a journey. It's not a religion. It's a journey. The horse is strong. Believers need strength. Number three, fight. You see, the word of God is our standard. I don't know what you think, but I'll tell you the truth. Christianity, to stay in faith, you must be ready for battle. We are in this world, we are not of this world. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. It's for battle. In Psalm 144 verse 1, it said, God teacheth my hand to do war and my fingers to fight. And he said in 2 Samuel 22:35 and Psalm 18:34, he said, teacheth my hand to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my hand. 2 Samuel 22:35, Psalm 18:34, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arm. It's a battle. Paul was instructing Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. He said, fight a good fight of faith. Lord of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. It is a fight. Christian is a fight. It's a fight. It's a battle. You are going to battle. There's a time to do war and do warfare. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, Paul himself said, I have fought a good fight. Me, Paul, I have fought a good fight. It's a fight. There's going to be a contest. That's why most times you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. You fast, you seek God. That is the time you see an attack. But what's going on? Let me give you a satanic manipulation. When you pray so much, the enemy gives you a bad dream. You saw yourself eating the dream. It's just a bad experiences in the dream. The attempt, why the devil is doing that, the intent and the intention is to make you discouraged. Make you feel, oh, despite my prayer. When I don't pray, I don't see such attack. Now I pray. When you don't pray, you are in their hands. So they can't fight you. They'll make you feel good. They'll make you feel cool. You are in their palm. You are in their custody. But when you pray, you are breaking yourself out. So what you do? When you pray, you see that. Don't be the smile and pray again. It's a proof that your prayer shook the kingdom of hell. So smile, pray again. Don't be discouraged. They bring that again, you pray again. Then it gets to a point the devil leaves you alone. Not permanently, for a season. You understand that? He leaves you alone for a season. Why? Because he knows that you now understand how he operates. You now have an understanding of how he operates. So it's important that you know that we need to fight. There are three ways we fight. Number one, we fight with our tongue. Your tongue. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, I think. 1 Peter 3:10 is very profound. You fight with your tongue. For he that loveth life and must see many good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Never. In my house is a law. My wife, I've been married for going to 17 years and I've known her for 22 years. I have never, she can tell you, no matter what's going on, I don't say anything negative. It's a law. I don't say that. Positive. A believer doesn't say it as it is. A believer says it as it should be. Calling those things that be not as though they were. Don't forget, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4 that he has given us the tongue of the learned. The tongue of the learned. The tongue of the learned. No matter your religion you profess, once you fail to bridle your tongue, your religion is in vain. James 1:26. He said your religion is in vain. Okay, your religion is in vain. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is in vain. So it is the power of the tongue. It's very important you understand how to say the right thing. How to say the right thing. Don't be casual with words. Don't allow people to say nasty things and just hit them on you. You must fight with your tongue. You must say the right things. You must speak the right words. Proverbs 25:11. You must speak the right words. You must speak the right words. As apple of gold in the picture of silver, so is a word that's fitly spoken. You must speak the right word. In Job 6:25, he says, how forcible are right words. When words are right, they come with force. They have power to produce. They have power to produce. Look at what Jesus said when he went to pray for Jairus and Jairus' daughter. He said, the baby is sleeping. They were laughing. He wasn't interested. When you speak, don't care what people think. When you speak, don't care what they think. They will laugh at you. Of course, because it's a fight, it's a war, it's a battle. Okay? So, when you speak, don't care what they think. Don't care what they say. Say what you expect, not what you are going through. Say what you expect, not what you are going through. Say where you are going to, not what you are going through. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what the Bible enjoins us. They'll begin to fight with words. God was speaking to Daniel through the angel in Daniel chapter 10, if you read from verse 12. He said, from the first day you decided to chasten yourself before God, when you began this fast 21 days ago, he said, thy words were heard on high, and I have come for your words. In other words, Daniel, I didn't come because you stayed away from food for 21 days. I came because of the things that you were saying. So somebody can fast for 40 days and it's exercise in futility. It's schedule of failure. Why? Because in the midst of his fast, his mouth was sealed. So, and somebody has fast for just a day and produces outstanding results. Why? Because as he's fasting, he's decreeing and declaring words. He's declaring words. He's making declarations. You fight with your words. You fight with your words. Never confess what the devil is doing. Confess what the word of God has said about you. Never confess what the devil is doing. Confess what the word of God has said about you. So it's important. You fight. You fight with words. Your tongue. You fight with your tongue. You fight with your tongue. You fight with your tongue. You know, James was telling us in James chapter 3, if you read from verse 5, he was talking about the tongue. James 3 from verse 5. How powerful. He said that even though the tongue is a little member and boasted great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. Verse 8. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. God gives you power to tame your tongue. Psalm 19:14 is very important. Psalm chapter 19 verse 14. It's important. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Let the words that come out of my mouth. Proverbs 18:21, I think. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It's important. It's very important. I read the scripture some time ago. I think Psalm 34 from verse 12. I should think so. Psalm 34 from verse 12. He said, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? See verse 13. You want to live long? You want to see good? Keep your tongue from evil and thy lip from speaking guile. Bring up Message translation. Message translation. go to verse 12. Who out there has a lust for life? Can't wait each day to come upon beauty. Look at verse 13. Guard your tongue from profanity and no more lying through your teeth. Some people lie through their teeth. No more lying through your teeth. No more lying through your teeth. Okay. So keep your tongue. Number two, you fight with your service. This fight you are in, you fight with service. Whenever you are serving God, you are committed to God, you go to church, you don't miss services. That is why it's called service. You come to miss service for better performance. When your car has stayed long, you know, you've driven your car for a while, you take the car to the car mart or the car shop or the mechanic. And what do? They change the oil because the viscosity is gone. They change the oil, they change the plugs. If they have to do that, you say, I've serviced my car. Why? For better performance. Why is it called in church weekly service? We come to church to be serviced for better performance. When you serve God, Job 36:11, if they shall obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Whenever you are serving God, you are fighting the fight. In the time of challenge and confrontation, your service can speak for you, can become a contest. God can raise that as a standard. It happened in the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah said to the Lord, he said, the dead can praise you. Only the living can praise you. I'm not dying now. Why? Because check my service. Check how I've walked uprightly. Imagine when Solomon his heart. 2 Kings 11. His heart. 1 Kings 11, rather, from verse 1. Bible says, he went after, strange women turned his heart away from God. And when they did that, God spoke to Solomon and said, I will not take the kingdom from you because of your father David, but I'll divide it in the day of your son. In the day of your son, because of this you have done, Solomon, you love so many strange women and they have taken your heart away from me. Because of David's service, despite what Solomon did, every king that went after strange God, God took the kingdom from them. God took it from them. But for Solomon, God said, no, because I had a covenant with your father. So you go on your knees, you wake up in the morning to pray, is service. When you study scripture, is service. Whatever you do, is service. When you give, is service. When you support, is service. You see the gospel, you say, okay, I'm going to just take out something, for the work. Is service. Being on air, like I said to somebody, and I told somebody yesterday what we spend to stay on air on Salvation TV, and it shouted, it screamed. We are reaching tens and hundreds of millions of people through Sky Channel, through Sky TV, through the Sky Network, rather, through the African Channel. Is tens of thousands of dollars. Tens of millions every month. It's service. Why will I put in so much into that? It's because lives need to be blessed. Somebody needs to hear the gospel. It is service. Okay, so it's very important. It's very important that you understand that service, whenever you're serving God, it's a weapon. You are establishing contact. In the time of trials, in the time of tribulation, in the day of trouble, you can look the devil in the eyes and say, I've been faithful to God. I've done my part. The Bible says, being in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Don't go away. Just 1 minute. I'll be back to pray for everyone who is believing God for a healing and a miracle in their body. Next 1 minute. Stay tuned. Welcome back. God bless you. God bless you. I pray for you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. This Bible study will produce a unique result in your life. And like the horse, you will move with speed. That's an aspect I didn't want to get into. We're trying to see how we could do 1 hour. 1 hour Bible study. 1 hour well utilized. Not to waste your time or to take more of your time. When we are going to do an extensive study, I'm going to tell you the day we're going to be doing an extensive study for 3 hours, 4 hours. We'll study so deeply with comparing scriptures with scriptures. I'm going to tell you when that comes on. But this scripture we've studied today will produce results in your life. You become like the horse Christian. This race that you are running, you will not fall out. You will not be distracted. You will not fall by the wayside. God will keep you. You will make heaven. Anyone around you, around your life, that is planted to take you out of this race or to make you run slowly, to reduce your pace, we decree there be a permanent disconnect in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, we give you power to control your tongue, to bridle your tongue, power to serve him, and you give you strength in Jesus' mighty name. My prayer for you is that you will not fall. You will not be among those that will be referenced to have fallen by the wayside. You will not fall. You will not miss heaven. Every day of your life, God will give you that conscious consciousness, that constant consciousness, that constant awareness. The awareness for heaven will be fresh, will be fresh, will be fresh, will be fresh. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Your love will not wax cold. You will stand firm in the name of Jesus. Your garment shall be white, and your head will lack no oil. My God, listen as you pray for somebody. I'm praying for people who are struggling with a spiritual weakness. either by dreams. The enemy sap your strength through bad dreams. The enemy sap your strength through a particular immoral life, through a particular mental weakness. Today I decree that you overcome it. You overcome it by the blood of the Lamb, the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Let your weakness become your strength. Let your weakness become your strength. Let your weakness become your strength. And I pray for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Altars, evil altars, will not speak against you. Evil altars will not bring you down. In the name of Jesus. Please, don't forget Friday. Don't miss Friday. We are going to be tearing down altars. We are going to be tearing down altars. Be on a fast on Friday. Please, it's important. We are going to be tearing down altars. We are going to take time to pray. I'm going to lead you in prayers for a long while. We'll just pray and tear down altars in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your time has come. We're going to take 10 testimonies and then I'll pray for everyone who is believing God for the healing. When Jesus appeared to me, he said, whenever you pray for the sick, I'll be there. There are certain gifts the Lord has given me, but predominantly is the gift of healing. And that is why I hate seeing people sick. I hate seeing disease. I hate seeing sickness. I want to pray for you right now. Before then, let me show you these testimonies to build your faith. I was diagnosed with fibroids. I discovered it was no more there while Papa was praying for the sick. Glory be to God Almighty. Benedicta from Kaduna. We give God the glory. The fibroid is gone. In Jesus' name. I've been suffering from epilepsy. As Papa was praying, I felt something leave me. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Michael from Port Harcourt. Epilepsy is gone in Jesus' name. For 1 week now, my ear has been painful. But after the prayers on Sunday, the pain is gone. Cyril Aneke from Botswana. You are healed in Jesus' mighty name. Greater glory. Glory be to God of our Father, Apostle Johnson Suleiman. I was diabetic and having serious tooth problem. As Papa was praying, I placed my hand on the TV screen. I felt something in my system. I realized what I couldn't do before, I began to do them. Toothache gone, diabetes gone. Thanks to God of our Father, Apostle Johnson Suleiman. Olua Femi, OFM, Kakob, Ukraine. God bless you, Femi. You are healed in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. I was feeling pain on my right leg. After Papa's prayer on Sunday, I did not feel the pain again. Pastor Vera from Kaduna. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. We give God the glory. I thank the God of Apostle Suleiman for healing me from chronic pain on my right hand last week after Friday prayer service. Hallelujah. Miss Adama Philomena, you are healed in Jesus' name. For approximately 6 years, my back has been hurting. But after Papa's prayer on Sunday, I feel no more pain there. Glory to God. I'm so grateful. Forever from United Kingdom. Good evening, sir. The name Moses that Papa mentioned during the last service is my brother. He has been having leg problems for the past 3 weeks. As Papa mentioned his name and prayed, the Lord healed him. Praise God. Collins from Ibadan. What a God we serve. I've been suffering from waist pain for some time now. But after prayers on Sunday, I can't feel the pain again. Thank you, Jesus. Theophilus from Ilorin, Kwara State, Nigeria. What a God we serve. Papa, on Sunday last week after service, you prayed. You prayed and said we should place our right hand where we have problems and the left on the screen. Papa, I placed mine on my chest. Because my chest is always reddish and scratching sometimes for over 7 years now. On Monday, I woke up and checked. I noticed two black marks like a cut of a healed wound, very visible around that chest region. Papa, I am still surprised. Glory to the King of Kings. Papa, may God continue to uphold you and your family in Jesus' name. Embassy Udota from Port Harcourt. That's the healing power of God. Healing is a children's bread. You will be healed as we pray. Don't forget the Bible says in Luke chapter 9 verse 6. He healed everywhere. And verse 11 of Luke 9 says he healed everyone that had need of healing. Everyone. Do you have need of healing? Then God is going to heal you. If you have a need. Doesn't matter what the sickness is. You place your right hand where it is.
What meant what?
Whatever the sickness is,
quelle que soit la maladie,
the symptoms you feel,
les symptômes que vous sentez,
put one hand there,
mettez votre main,
and stretch your other hand or touch the screen or the gadget you're watching me from,
tendez votre main droite,
your tab,
votre tablette,
your TV set,
votre télévision,
your iPad,
votre iPad,
the laptop,
votre ordinateur,
your mobile phone,
votre téléphone.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Père, dans le nom de Jésus.
Someone have a breathing problem.
Quelqu'un a des problèmes respiratoires.
You have a problem, a respiratory problem.
Des problèmes respiratoires.
God is healing you now.
Le Seigneur te guérit maintenant.
There's a lady, your name is Magdalene.
Il y a une fille qui s'appelle Magdalene.
You have a problem with your eyes, both of them.
Tu as des problèmes avec les deux yeux.
There's a worm.
Il y a des vers.
I'm still crawling around your eyes.
Je vois des vers.
When it comes, it's so heavy, you see tears dropping and you can't even see well now.
Tu coules des larmes et tu ne vois pas bien.
Be healed.
Sois guéri.
I come against cancer,
tumor.
I come against fibroid and growths. I rebuke cancer. There are people being healed of cancer. Seven people being healed of cancer. The breast, the side, the lungs, liver cancer. Any trace of cancer in your body, go! Someone is watching me in the hospital. You're hospitalized. This is chronic cancer. The stage is very chronic. The Lord says, I should tell you, don't believe what the doctor said. Don't believe what the doctor said. The doctor has told you that this sickness will take your life. They will give you some weeks more to live. The Lord says, I should tell you, as the Lord liveth, cancer is out of your body. You are made whole.
Tu es guéri.
HIV gone.
Le VIH part.
Hepatitis B gone. Growth.
Les tumeurs.
There's a young girl. You are in 200 level.
Tu as 200
in the university.
À l'université.
You have appendicitis.
Tu as l'appendicite.
And they are thinking of operating.
Et on veut t'opérer.
But they have been having issues.
Il y a des problèmes.
That we've not operated, but now it's so critical. The Lord says, I should tell you, the appendix disappears. The appendicitis disappears. Be healed.
Sois guéri.
From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet.
Jusqu'à tes pieds.
I speak healing.
La guérison.
Somebody's watching me, you are wearing a red dress.
Tu as porté des habits rouges.
You are wearing a red dress.
Tu as porté des habits
the
rouges.
Doctor gave you a medical report.
Je t'ai donné un rapport.
And you've been heartbroken and depressed.
Et tu es dépressé.
Go back to that same doctor. The Lord says you are healed.
Tu es guéri.
In Jesus' name.
Dans le nom de Jésus.
From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet.
Tête jusqu'à tes pieds.
Jesus makes you whole.
Jésus te guérit.
In Jesus' name.
Nom de Jésus.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't forget to send me a testimony or do me a mail. Send me a testimony on the numbers now being displayed on your screen. Or you do me a mail. If you don't get a reply on the mail, please keep sending until you get a reply. And just be patient, because there are so many of them that I'm trying to reply. Reply the most personally. Just do a very straight word. Don't send a long, you know, story. Just straight word. And I'll reply you. The Lord bless you. Friday, we're going to be pulling down evil altars. And God will answer our prayers. In Jesus' name. My name is Johnson Suleiman. No matter what the matter is, you matter when it matters most. I'll see you on Friday. God bless you.